Mary has a problem. Her problem is me. I should just tell her to fuck off and die, sever all links, refuse to talk to her. But she's good company when we're on speaking terms. She can push all my buttons correctly when we're in bed, and she can get right under my skin and leave me feeling about 5.5 inches high. My problem is that she wants to trade me in on new boyfriend model 2.0, one with a fast car and a Rolex Oyster and prospects. Warped senses of humor and dead-end laundry postings are strictly optional. She's permanently on the rebound, either toward me or away from me. I can't always tell which, and in between she uses me the way a cat uses a scratching post. Partying at Judy's place, for example. Judy is a mindless management functionary bimbo friend of hers, who is somehow always impeccably turned out and manages to make me feel like a dirty little schoolboy, although she's far too polite to ever say anything. So, when Mary traps off with some double-glazing salesman she meets via Judy, and he turfs her out of his bed the next morning, I'm supposed to be around as a friendly consolation fuck the next day. My problem is that she doesn't seem to appreciate that I hate being on the receiving end of this. If I try to make a big deal of it, she'll accuse me of being jealous, and I'll end up feeling obscurely guilty. If I don't make a big deal of it, she'll continue to act like I'm some kind of doormat. And who knows? Maybe I'm just being paranoid and she isn't looking around for Mr. New Boyfriend. Yeah, and wild boars have been spotted in the holding pattern over Heathrow with an engine under each wing. I haven't had to chase any strangers out of my bed yet, but with Mary around, I keep wondering when it'll happen. The worst of it is, I don't want to just cut things dead. I'd rather she stopped playing games than she stopped seeing me. Perhaps it's self-deception, but I think we could make things work. Maybe. I'm in the shower cubicle washing my hair when I hear the door open. I do not appreciate hearing about your one-night stands, I say, eyes closed to avoid the sting of shampoo. I don't understand why the fuck you hang around me when you're obviously so eager to find someone else. But will you please leave me alone for a bit?
Oops, sorry,
says Pinky and closes the door. He's waiting on the landing when I finish in the bathroom. We studiously avoid each other's eyes.
It's okay to go into your room,
he volunteers.
She's gone out.
Oh, good. He hurries after me as I head downstairs.
She asked me to have a word with you,
he calls breathlessly. That's fine, I say distantly. Just as long as she isn't asking you to share my bed.
She says you need to check out the alt.polyamory fac,
he says, and cringes. I switch the kettle on and sit down. Do you really think I have a problem? I ask. Or does Mary have a problem? He glances around, trapped.
You have incompatible lifestyle choices?
He ventures. The kettle hisses like an angry snake. Very good. Incompatible lifestyle choices is such a fucking civilized way of putting it.
Bob, do you think she might be doing this to get your attention?
There are good ways and bad ways to get my attention. Whacking on my ego with a crowbar will get my attention, sure, but it's not going to leave me well disposed to the messenger. I pour more hot water into my mug of tea, then stand up and rummage in the cupboard. Ah, it's right where I left it. I upend a generous dollop of Ray and Nephew's overproof Jamaican rum into the mug and sniff. Brown sugar crossed with white lightning. The male ego is a curious thing. It's about the size of a small continent, but it's extremely brittle. Drink? Pinky sits down opposite me, looking as if he's sharing the kitchen table with an unexploded bomb.
Why not look on the bright side?
He says, holding out a Coke glass for the rum. There's a bright side?
She keeps coming back to you,
he says.
Maybe she's doing it to hurt herself.
To... I bite off the snide reply I was working on. When Mary gets depressed, she gets depressed. I've seen the scars. I'll have to think about that one, I say.
Well then.
Pinky looks pleased with himself.
Doesn't that look better? She's doing it because she's depressed and hates herself. Not because there's anything wrong with you. It's not a reflection on your virile manhood, you big hunk of beefcake. Go get yourself a one-nighter of your own, and she'll have to make her mind up what she wants.
Is that in the fac? I ask.
I don't know. I don't pay much attention to breeder reproductive rituals,
he says, fingering his moustache. Thank you, Pinky, I say heavily. He does a little wave and bow, then tips the contents of his glass down his throat. I spend the next minute or two helping save him from choking, and then we have another wee dram. The rest of the afternoon becomes a blur, but when I wake up in bed the next morning, I have a stunning hangover, a vague memory of drunkenly talking things over with Mary for hours on end until it blew up into a flaming row, and I'm on my own. Situation normal, all fucked up.